When I was in junior high and early high school, I had a lot of things I was concerned about, a lot of fears, if you will. I wanted to fit in, right? So I wanted to have the right clothes, wanted to have the right, abilities in sports, wanted to be the smart kid in class, wanted to have the right things, do the right things, have the right friends, those sort of things. And actually, I didn't have any of those things, so it didn't work out very well. Now, it's not like my life was miserable, but as I look back, there were a lot of concerns that I had, a lot of fears that I had that drove my actions. And when I look at it now, I think, well, those weren't really a big deal at the time. Thank goodness, maybe I had some of those things, and it forced me to look for real reasons for living, right? So fear is a motivating factor. And what fears motivate us? How do we respond to these fears in our lives? Are we trying to fit in? Are we trying to have the right social connections? Maybe we're concerned about our earnings, want to get in a higher bracket or something like that. We're comparing ourselves to our neighbors. They got a new car, we got to get a new car. They got a new house, we got to get a new house, whatever it is. Fear can drive us to do many things, and it can be a cause of spending a lot of time and effort on things that otherwise don't really matter. Today, Jeremiah speaks to us about his fears. He was sent by the Lord to preach and prophesy to the Israelites, who were straying from their true worship of God. And it's not without reason that he had these fears. His words today show us concern. I hear the whisperings of many, terror on every side. Denounce, let us denounce him. Now, was there ever a prophet that was sent to proclaim some truth that was received well in the Old Testament? I don't think there was. Usually didn't work out too great for them. Usually wasn't like, is that so? We're supposed to change what we're doing? Okay, we'll just do that, Usually the way that people live, they're invested in the choices they've made. So it's not surprising that he was facing some resistance. So being a prophet is not an easy thing. We can maybe sympathize a little bit with Jeremiah, right? It's not an easy thing for him. But in the midst of these fears, Jeremiah also expresses an amazing trust. Listen to his words, right after the words that we just heard. But the Lord is with me. Like a mighty champion, my persecutors will stumble. They will not triumph. In their failure, they will be put to shame. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has rescued me and my life of the poor from the power of the wicked. So these words express a confidence in the Lord's ability to triumph. Now, if we know this story of Jeremiah, it doesn't end well for him, right? Eventually, he is killed for preaching and trying to teach the truth, and his message doesn't really prevail in that time. Later, people look back and say, okay, we should have listened to him, but in the time, it didn't go so well. So what are we to think of that? Was Jeremiah unfaithful? Did the Lord just allow him to fall because he wasn't doing the right thing or a good job? Now, admittedly, he had fears, right? And he had complications and things that he complained about at times, but he did fulfill the work of being a prophet. He did do what he was supposed to do. So why did it not work out? Now, Jesus picks up on this theme today. Fear no one, he says. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, no secret that will be not known. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy soul and body. Fear no one. It's a pretty impressive statement. Now, properly ordering our fears will help us to be at peace in the midst of the storms of life. That is what we are called to be rooted in Christ for, right? To root us in that presence of Christ so that we don't have these irrational fears. When we live in Christ, it contextualizes our fears. We see them in a different light. Jesus tells us not to fear what can destroy the body, but rather to fear that which can destroy both body and soul. So, sin is a worrying thing of fearing, especially sin that's unrepentant. That's a dangerous thing to live with. We should also be wary of the temptations and the wiles of the devil, right? He's known as the enemy of our souls, so he's worth fearing. These are worthy of our concern and to be feared, but they are not something that we have to be in dread of, right? When we are clinging to Christ, when we are united to Christ, these fears no longer have power over us. So it's not that being a Catholic Christian means we won't have problems, right? That's the reality. If we follow Christ, it doesn't mean life is going to be painless and carefree and, you know, effortless fun all the time. Quite the opposite. We will be challenged. We will suffer. We will be tested. But rather, it's when we are united to Christ, when we're united to the Lord, it's then that we, in the midst of our struggles and anxieties, we have a sense that there is a greater power at work. It's the knowledge and the reality that no matter what happens, God is going to use this situation for His glory and my sanctification if I hold fast to Him in the midst of it. Being united to Christ allows us then to be, if you will, in that interior castle. We hear about St. Teresa of Avila talking about this interior castle. That's the place where even if there's storms going on all around us in our life, maybe there's challenges that we're facing, but if we're resting in the Lord, if we're united to the Lord, then we can have confidence and we can have faith that He will take care of us. The lives of the saints are a witness to this kind of faith, this kind of living. They are the ones who rightly order their fears, we might say. So if they look at somebody like St. John Paul II, a man who lived through the Nazi occupation, through communism, who had every reason to be afraid, to live in fear, to be formed by fear. And yet, when he came to be a Pope, one of his most enduring messages was, do not be afraid. Somebody like Miguel Pro, who was a Catholic priest in Mexico during the persecution of the church down there. He died before a firing squad saying, Viva Cristo Rey, long live Christ the King, putting his faith not in this life, but in the next to come. Or St. Teresa of Calcutta, being honored for her work with the poor, took that opportunity to challenge the president and the dignitaries that were gathered on their views on abortion. Or this week's saints, St. John Fisher and Thomas More, accepting death rather than agreeing to sign a document that would put the king as the head of the church rather than the pope. So fear can motivate our lives. It can do a lot of things, push us a lot of directions. But love is stronger than fear. The saints are those who rightly order their fears. And we might say that they live fearlessly because of their love of Christ. What about us? What about us? Does fear control us? Does it drive us in different directions? Do our worldly fears push us to put Christ in a secondary place? Do we spend time and energy chasing after things or trying to protect ourselves from fears that we really can't control? Are we able to do what is right in the right way, in the right time, because we are freely living in freedom that comes only from Christ? Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet none of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows.